Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Thank you. There's a Taylor Swift book sitting on the pulpit waiting for me. So, thank you. Looks like from David and Sharon. Thank you. I want to go ahead and dismiss our kids for Rev Kids. We got Coop there in the back. Also want to say happy Father's Day to those who celebrate, to the dads and grandfathers in our midst. I hope you have just a wonderful day and feel loved. And just, it's always a good moment, I think, to celebrate just the family of this church and for all of the men who lead and teach in this church family. I'll never forget Bishop Will Willimon, who was at Duke for a little bit of the same time I was there. He used to say he was raised by a single mom, but he never felt like he lacked because of the church family, because of other men in that church who would, you know, take him out to lunch or take him on fishing trips or, you know, because of the church family. So it's a great Sunday, I think, to remember what we are about here and what we lean into here. And so we celebrate all of the men of this church this morning, and I'm thankful for you. All right, well, our scripture passage this morning comes from Philippians. It's chapter 1, and this is verses 1 through 11, and I'll read that for us now. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, and we can respond, thanks be to God. So this passage comes from the opening of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and I love how he begins it. He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, to the whole assembly, to the whole gathering of all the believers there, the whole ecclesia, the gathering. I mean, he could have addressed it just to the leaders, just the overseers and deacons, but he doesn't say that. He says to all of you with the overseers and deacons. He could have written directly to the bishop telling him what to say to the people and what to do next, but he doesn't do that. Like the other letters, many of Paul's other letters that we have in the New Testament, Paul just says to all the saints, the living saints, to all the members in the household of God who through Christ are just trying to follow the way of Jesus in this wild world. Grace and peace to you. So from the beginning, we know that this letter hits different. It just takes on a different tone. Because unlike the letter to the church in Corinth, where Paul is addressing sort of their divisions around money and they keep taking each other to court, or to his letter to the Galatians, addressing their divisions between the Jewish and Gentile believers and their issues over not even eating together, like they're not even sharing the same table because of their different food laws. Here in Philippians, there is no issue or division that he just like addresses right off the bat. Philippians is a short letter. It's only 4 chapters. But it's full of gratitude and joy and love. Honestly, it reads more like a thank you note to his friends. He begins it, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. And then he says things like, I hold you in my heart. I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. He doesn't say this to the other churches, y'all. And it sounds like a note to dear friends whom he knows very well. And why? Why is he thanking them? Well, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That word partnership is koinonia, meaning community or communion, sort of this understanding of joint participation. In some places, Paul uses it to refer to a financial gift, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than just money. This word appears 19 times in the New Testament, and it's translated as fellowship the most, also sharing, participation, but contribution, that one only twice is it used in that sense. Paul is thanking the church in Philippi for their partnership with him, for their koinonia. And it's not just money that they've given him in the past to fund some of his missionary ventures and the planting of churches. No, but he's thanking them for something that he is experiencing right then from that community, their koinonia friendship and their love. So what we also know about this little book of joy and gratitude is that Paul is actually writing this letter while he is in prison, like many of the letters. But this one is likely in Rome, likely weeks before he is executed, and likely one of his final letters. And what we also know is that when someone was imprisoned in that time, they had to rely on people from the outside to provide food to survive. So for Paul, that was often members of the churches that he had planted who would come and visit him and bring him food and needed supplies and then take letters back to those communities with them. And in those letters, he would address core beliefs and life and community and continuing to teach and correct and encourage the early followers of Christ. Still from prison, he was continuing to do that. And so it's no different here to the letter to the Philippians. Here in Philippians, he is thanking. He is saying thank you to his friends for their partnership and their support and provisions right then as he is in chains. And he describes it this way: it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Partakers. That's like participating with, participating together. They are sharing together in grace, whether Paul is in chains or teaching the gospel, because their life together in community with God. Paul is saying that because of that partnership, they have actually been part of all of the preaching that he's done and all of the planting of churches and even to this imprisonment and even to the lives that are being changed right now. All that has happened to him has happened because of them, because they have shared in the grace of Christ together. I mean, that's the power of partnership in Jesus. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to say to you all on this, my last Sunday at Revolution, this passage came to mind immediately for two reasons. The first is that I knew I wanted to say thank you. That doesn't feel sufficient, but it is all I have. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel from my first day until now. Thank you for your support and your patience. Thank you for your constant encouragement and laughter. Thank you for your willingness to step up and do what is needed to be done, no matter what we have faced in every season. Thank you for your shared leadership and for your humility and grace and your willingness to keep learning together. I've said this to you before. Here at Revolution Church, we say that we share in the gospel together and form this partnership by offering our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to support the mission of this church. And the mission of this church is joining Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives through teaching and serving. Side venture, I usually teach this passage and during stewardship campaigns. So here you go, one last time. thank you for your prayers, your presence, your gifts, but it's so much more. Stewardship, I've always preached it here, is so much more than financial giving. Yes, that's important, and it's all that we have, our whole lives, our whole witness to glorify God and to further the kingdom of God here. So thank you for the bold and generous ways that you have continued the mission of this church, joining the revolution, joining Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives through teaching and serving. Because the truth is, I wouldn't be me without you. And the things that you think that I did or I led through, y'all, we did together. And all that we have been through, the good and the challenging and the wild and the unexpected, we have been partakers in grace together because God has been with us through it all. And I will continue to thank God in all my remembrance of you, Revolution. There is a German theologian and mystic from the 14th century, Meister Eckhart, who says this: if the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, that will be sufficient. And so today, my friends, that has to be sufficient. The second reason I chose this passage is because this book is known for its joy. It's called The Little Book of Joy. How in the world? Paul is in prison. He's condemned to death. He's relying on the generosity and hospitality of others. How could he be so joyful? This is also the book where he says, count it all joy, my friends, when you experience suffering of any kind. And you're like, are you unhinged? Are you unwell? Why? How is this the little book of joy? But as he says toward the end of this letter, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. You're welcome. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I have learned to be content in all things. Paul has learned to be content, not because he hasn't experienced any suffering, but because he has experienced Christ at work in all things, giving him strength and victory to find God at work. He has learned to rely on the koinonia. And this, my friends, is the greatest news of all, that we are not alone. If there's one thing that I've tried to maintain throughout my ministry here, it is that sense of joy. No matter what we were going through, there's always a reason for joy. No, I mean, whether it's I've done this kind of, you know, no matter what we're going through, always a reason. And I've done this, I've tried to do this, whether it's through celebrating holy humor, which I introduced to you. And for the first 3 years, you're like, what in the world? This is the most random thing. You're welcome. Or through telling ridiculous jokes, or giving you permission to feel all of your feelings, or laughing at myself and wearing really fun shoes, referencing fun Taylor Swift songs. There's always a reason to find joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Kate Bowler, at one point in speaking on the ability to find joy in life, she has said this, that being not afraid to look like an idiot feels like a superpower. And I'm like, man, if I had a superpower, that's got to be it. It's being like unafraid to look like an idiot. The freedom of that, there's joy there. There's joy. She also says this, I think that people need to begin by accepting that the preconditions of life are that you will truly be made a fool of, and the most of the fun things are ridiculous anyway. Most of the fun things in life are ridiculous anyway. Practicing joy, sharing laughter, finding humor in daily things, these are actually practices of a resilient faith. Because they require us to remember who we are and whose we are and who goes before us. But you know that joy is more than just what makes us happy. Joy is deeper than that. Joy is not ignoring the real suffering and violence that go on in the world. Joy is also an act of resistance. And I've shared these words with you before from the Reverend Lizzie McManus Dale, who's an Episcopal priest that I shared time with at Duke, but since then has gone on to like write books and devotions and like all about joy, and it's incredible. You should check her out. But she wrote this recently, that joy is an act of resistance. And she says this: that does not mean never feel sad, disassociate from the horror, only do things that make you feel happy. It does mean that tyrants want you thinking about them 24/7, so you have no energy left for anything else. And joy is resistance does mean acts of community building and nourishment and generosity show that we are not defined by what we do not have. It means justice is more wholehearted than mere retribution. It means God is bigger than people who want to make themselves into gods. And it means we keep taking the risk of vulnerability. It means we offer small talk to a stranger today, one of my favorite pastimes. It means we pay attention to how leaves still change colors. It is an everyday miracle. And it means pay attention to the flowers. They still bloom. It is an everyday miracle. And it means the divine is still dancing and asking us to join her. Joy is resistance, my friends, because we are not defined by what we do not have. And we are invited to see beyond our current moment, sort of uncertainty and maybe even fear, to a peaceable kingdom that is here and coming. To have eyes to see those everyday miracles of life and beauty and creation that are happening all around us, and to celebrate them and practice joy. These are words that I shared with you in our stewardship campaign last fall that I called Dream On. And I want to share a portion of that with you again today. And I said this: we are members of the unshakable kingdom of God, members of the global and universal body of Christ, with the power of the Spirit to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present. Faith in that reality and in that kingdom looks like trusting God with the future of this church. We do not mourn like those who have no hope, because our hope is not in crumbling kingdoms made of sand, but in the kingdom of heaven that is here. So let's dream on. I spoke those words to you just in, September or October. I called it Dream On when we were planning for the new year, and when we all assumed that the leadership of this church would remain the same throughout the whole entire year of 2026. But as we prepared for this transition, I couldn't help but think that these words that I shared then were even more important now in light of this context. And so I also said this: big dreams can't fail. If we remain faithful to what God is calling us to do right now, what could our church look like 5 years from now? And I said, friends, it is going to take all of us showing up, leaning into new relationships, praying, giving financially in ways that you haven't before, serving and witnessing to Christ through acts of compassion, service, humility, justice, and mercy. I know it is hard to see beyond our current moment. And what I meant, asterisk, was national struggles and personal struggles and church struggles. But now, our current moment. But hope is continuing to have the eyes to see the kingdom and practicing the courage to live there in that reality now. So may our prayer be, God, give me eyes to see your kingdom come, your everyday miracles breaking through, your glory and power now. Give me courage to see beyond and to practice hope and generosity and joy, even when, and especially when, none of those things are valued by our world. Are we ready to dream big dreams for the kingdom? I said that then in the fall, and I ask you again today, are we ready to keep dreaming big dreams for the kingdom? And so, to all the saints in Christ Jesus here at Revolution,
I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that the God who began a good work here in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And as I leave you, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more, your love for God and your love for neighbors, that your love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I know that I have sort of promised myself and other people that have been asking for, you know, the gospel according to Taylor Swift. I wasn't going to teach on her song specifically, just say, look how these themes show up everywhere because of the universal nature of Christ. Isn't that cool? And so this has been sort of the underlying theme throughout the whole series. And you've heard the song already in videos and in promo videos. And it is Taylor's song called Long Live. And when I sat down to work on this a couple months ago, like what the last four were going to look like, I picked this song, I listened to it, I started at the end and worked my way back and sat at my desk and bawled. So welcome to the Sunday of Joy, where I'm now going to read to you the worst song ever. No, I'm just kidding. It's a great song, and it fits very perfectly for today. In this song, Long Live by Taylor, she says, long live the walls we crashed through. How the kingdom lights shined just for me and you. I was screaming, long live all the magic we made. And bring on all the pretenders, I'm not afraid. Pretenders, doubters, seekers, big questions, people wondering where God is today. Bring them along, we're not afraid. Long live all the mountains we moved. I had the time of my life fighting dragons with you. Resisting evil and injustice in whatever forms they present. Dragons. And I was screaming, long live that look on your face, you beautiful people, and bring on all the pretenders. One day we will be remembered. May the work here be remembered, but not because of me, or even really because of you, but because of the work God did through us and in us together. And may that work long live past us. Because of the kingdom work that continues here. Because of the mission of God that must move forward in the world. And I'll close just with this blessing over you guys that you've heard me say before. But it is the hope that we cling to right now. Remembering who we are and whose we are and who goes before us. Friends, you are one within whom Christ dwells and delights. You are members of the strong and unshakable kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in trouble, and neither are we. Amen. And let's pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for who you are and for all of the joy that has been with us, for all of the ways that you have been with us and among us, working through us, going before us. God, we give you all of the praise and all of the glory. And I thank you, God, for this church community, for its leaders, for its dreamers, for those who work behind the scenes, for those who volunteer, for those who teach our kids and youth, for those who clean, for those who serve. God, for every single person who offers all of their gifts, everything they have, so that the mission of God and the reconciliation of Christ might move forward in this world. God, it is an amazing gift, and I give you thanks for this community. And I pray that as we continue now forward, we would cling to that hope and that you would give us the courage that we need to keep going, to keep joining Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives because the world needs it. So Holy Spirit, go before us still, and with us we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.